back on the main theme today around learning. So for me, one of the other things I really like to do to learn is to listen to podcasts. So a few years ago, I was listening to this podcast called The Agile Revolution. I used to sort of hear them going to various conferences and doing vox pops around the conferences, talking to various people. So we're very lucky today that we actually have two of the members from Agile Revolution here today. And they are going to be our opening keynotes of 2018. So I'd like you to give a big round of applause for Craig Smith and Tony Cotton.
Morning, Brisbane!
Morning!
Yay! Welcome, Brisbane. Welcome. I'm Tony.
I'm Craig.
And we're the Agile Revolution.
We are indeed. Yeah, isn't it awesome, Tony? Look at this. 300 people.
From Brisbane mostly.
Excellent.
That's an amazing Agile community.
I mean, I know when, as one of the co-founders of the Agile Brisbane Meetup, and if you don't come to the Meetup, come along. And now to see a community like this, I mean, we didn't even have 300 members back in 2009 when that kicked off.
We want to put it in perspective, we were at the original Agile Australia. We didn't have 300 people at the original Agile Australia. In fact, we were giving tickets out to people. There was even a homeless man sitting in the corner. Alright, so it's an amazing thing that you've done here today, so we hope you enjoy yourselves.
Weren't you the homeless man sitting in the corner?
Yeah, I usually am. That's because my wife's kicked me out the door. Anyway, let's keep going.
Right. Here's a bit of a photo of us taken a few years ago. I'm of course the guy on the left.
I'm thinking you didn't do me any favours there, bud.
And of course we are from the Agile Revolution.
Shameless plug, of course. But yeah. Please listen, at the break and during the conference, you'll see us up the other end from the registration desk. We'll have the podcast mic. Come talk to us. If you don't come talk to us, those have been promised us before, we'll come talk to you.
So come get your head on a podcast, right? All right, so anyway, we're here to talk about fail agility, so let's get into it, right? But let's start by what is failure. So if we kind of look into the dictionary, failure is a noun, the neglect or omission of expected or required action. But really, if we think about failure, as it says on the left-hand side there, it's not the opposite of success, it's part of success. That's how we learn.
And so today, what we want you to think about as we talk our way through fail agility is changing your mind up. And changing those that you work with their mind up, right? And I know it's an overused thing, but it's first attempt in learning, right? Change that method of thinking about that. Because if we're not thinking about that as a first attempt in learning, then we start to worry about failing, right? But why do we start worrying about failing, Craig?
Well, the thing is that if you've seen this before, this is the Satir curve, right? We often use this when we talk about transformations in our organisations. And we've had the old normal, that's the green part on that diagram. And then maybe that's your traditional process, your waterfall, your Prince 2 process, whatever it is. And then somebody has the bright idea, right? They've been in an airline, read an airline magazine, and we've got to go agile. All right? And then all of a sudden we go through this transformation. You go on the training, you learn about it, everything's fun and happy. You have this kind of little uptick. But then reality stands in because, you know, you're standing in a circle with some cards on a wall that aren't moving, and you kind of dive into this whole trough of chaos. And the thing is with fail agility is we've got to figure out how to get ourselves out of this trough, because too many organisations, too many teams, never really get out of that trough. And it's this chaos, we're never really getting better. And so the real key is, how do we get onto that blue? How do we make it the new normal? And that's the challenge for most of us that we're still struggling with, is actually getting out of that trough and actually continuing that curve up.
So when you think about that, you've got to pass that about fear. Ooh. Why do we have fear, right? So if we think about the feararchy and the fear of failure, we think about Carl Albrecht says, the only thing you have to fear is fear itself. Once you understand what the fears are and where they come from, then you're in control. So if you look at the feararchy here, if we think about extinction in the terms of organisational change, which is what we're talking about today, right? In extinction, when you do organisational change, if you don't have the leadership that is actually on board, then your people fear that they may not have a job anymore. Right? Mutilation doesn't really apply to this, I hope not, unless it's a paper cut. The loss of autonomy, the fear of loss of autonomy, right? So when organisations try to restructure themselves out of trouble continuously, when they don't apply agility, then you have loss of autonomy, and the fear of loss of autonomy drives people to do things that you don't want them to do. Separation from the leadership and separation from the vision becomes a fear. And last but not least, and that's why it's at the top, is the ego death, right? Most of the things that you see driven in organisational fail agility are driven from the fear of ego, the fear of failure, the fear of not being accepted by peers. We need to understand this fear, right? We need to move forward because that's causing fail agility.
Yeah, because when we know where fear comes from, then we can really start to control it. So we have to give a bit of a tip of the hat in this talk. The term fear agility, Stacia Viscardi had a talk a couple of years ago at the Heart of Agile conference and sort of introduced this term as a more of a personal journey.
And the other character on the other side there, Kersey, I can't see him anywhere, but Kersey reckons he actually invented it when he was talking with us, so we stuck his head up there, probably just because he does like to have his head in everything.
Yeah, so we stuck this picture on there anyway. All right. So Tony, it's almost 9 o'clock, right? So we're all agile, so we all have to stand up, right?
Isn't that what we do at 9 o'clock, everyone?
That's agile, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, everybody stand up, come on.
Come on, stand up. Whoa, great wall of sand. Awesome. All right, so we're going to run a little exercise with you in our stand-up. Okay.
I need you to be honest here, right? Right.
Remember, the cameras are on, we're recording, and Craig and I can see you. Right.
We know a lot of you.
Okay, so what we want you to do is to stay standing if you have implemented agility in some reasonable moment with your teams within your organisation. Stay standing. It's okay if you haven't. Honesty is the best policy. All right, that's pretty good, right?
So a couple of waterfall people sat down, that's all. Thank you for coming, right? You're here to learn, right?
I think it was a B model, but we'll go with it.
All right, stay standing, right, if you have made agility changes at your leadership level, right? If your leaders are truly exhibiting agility, right? That could be your team leaders, that could be the leaders at the highest level.
Be honest.
Is there agility at your leadership level?
Are they living it? Are they breathing it? Do they do it? Organization is exhibiting or is agile or has agility from top to bottom. And when we say top to bottom, we're talking about leadership to CFO, to the janitor, to the bloke in the corner.
End to end.
End to end.
Those last few brave souls standing.
Brave souls standing. Okay, you can stand as well, there you go. You know what that means? I want a job with you guys. So everybody better see those guys for a job, or they can stop as one of the two.
Give them a round of applause.
Yeah.
Look, if you sat down, that's fine, right? That's why we're here at drum conferences like last, right? Relax, it's just agile.
We're not saving babies here.
Unless you work for a hospital, then maybe you are, right?
The thing is, we're not having any either, right?
Right. The thing is, right, your organisations are still standing, people are still getting paid, stuff is getting done, right? We hear about taking it from good to great.
So when we talk about that in terms of organisational change-up, you've also got to think about the change, right? How we manage it, right? So what we talk about is VUCA. So VUCA has a very specific thing when we talk about organisational change. So when you think about it, we have volatility in our organisational change. The way to get us out of that and to make us go forward is to have vision. We need leaders with vision, right? When we have uncertainty, we need understanding. We need facts. We need to be able to make fact-based decisions and understand what's happening by having the right data and by measuring the right things. Where we have complexity, we need clarity. We need clarity of purpose, clarity of strategy, clarity of roles. And then to underpin all of that, when we have ambiguity, that's where agility comes in. Agility helps us deal with ambiguity. And in fact, if we apply agility correctly, it actually helps us with clarity, understanding, and vision.
So really what we're going to take you through for the rest of this talk is three levels that we see fail agility happen at most often. At the organisational level, at the leadership level, and finally what we can do as coaches or practitioners in our teams, how to deal with fail agility, how to actually start to fix it.
Hey, what's a Kodak?
I'm not sure, right, but...
anybody know what a Kodak is?
I wonder why there's an old lady walking in front of the...
Well, that's because they're the only one who knows what a Kodak is.
She's just going to buy a roll of film, right? We're going to talk about organisational fail agility, right? So here's the thing, Right, organisations are on the nth transformation. Right, is there anyone who's on their second, third, fourth, fifth transformation of agility? We see this actually all the time, and a lot of the really large organisations in this country, large organisations around the world, this is not their first go. They're on their second, third, fifth. I'm on an organisation at the moment that's on their seventh try at this stuff. Right, seven goes.
Who's lived stuck between floors? Paused. We see that too, right?
And we traditionally started in IT. I mean, if we go back to the manifesto, right, it's called the Manifesto for Agile Software Development, right? You know, that's what it was called. It was about IT, the word software, and there is so many times, and that's where we started. We just tried to make IT just a little bit better.
That's where we started, right?
Absolutely. Right, and we did it because we were trying to, you know, replace some outdated processes, processes that were invented in the 60s and 70s when computers were the size of this room. Right, but technology's changed, we've moved on. And so now what it's become is it's become all about the new buzzword, which is business agility. Now this is a great visualization from a talk that Evan Laybourne and Sally Alada gave at the recent Agile 2018 conference in San Diego. And there's a lot of really good stuff on here. You can see on the left-hand side, for example, that you know we're really trying to move people to be thinking about outputs versus outcome versus outputs, right? Really focusing on outcomes, not traditionally as we've been thinking about how many cars we finish or what our velocity or story points are. But the interesting thing is that they recently did a survey around business agility. And if we think about the problems, the fail agility parts of this, they're all standard things. The problems are still at the levels of leadership, the lack of buy-in. Right? How do we actually get this across all the other traditional parts of the organization? And that's really where we've got to start to move, because true agility, right, has to be business agility, has to be end-to-end. Because now, right, we used to put Agile around to get rid of the big processes. Now I'm in organizations where they've just had ad hoc processes and they're trying to put rigor around that. It's now become the new normal. It's become the waterfall of the 2010s, right? And so how do we start to avoid that? Because we don't want to fall down the same traps. And unfortunately, we're also fixing previous Agile attempts. Right? And the word Agile has become a dirty word. Right? You'd say Agile in lots of organizations now and you just get this,
Nick goes at 20 paces, right?
Exactly. And I've been starting a revolution for many years. Anyone seen me talk before, right? I want to change the word agile because it's such a dirty word. I want to call it raccoon. Who's with me?
Who wants to be a raccoon coach?
Right, just because we need to change the language, right? It's, remember, right, agile is our way of is helping us to deliver. It's not the
something you said, bro.
Something, right? Took the lights out, right? But yeah, it's not the destination, it's the journey.
So, the conversation's changed over the years as well since Craig and I started doing it back in 2003. By the way, Craig, I noticed they call us pioneers on the fly for this. Does that mean we're on?
Something like that. And you're a coach, you came almost to the conference today, didn't you?
Yeah, that's it. Walking stick job. Okay, reality is when we walk into organisations and start talking with them now, it's not about whether they want to do Agile. In fact, mostly it's about we need to do Agile, or we are doing Agile, we just need you to make it even better, right? But the reality is, it's faux agile. And what they've done is they've taken the old processes and wrapped it in a wrapper and made it lipstick on a pig, right? We all know that saying. We have Scrum Thing, we have Scrum-ish, we have Scrum Butt, we have Wagile.
Yeah, Tragile, Fragile, Agile Butt.
Scrum Fall, right?
Dark Agile.
Or as Ron Jeffries quotes it to be, is Dark Agile, right? The reality of it is when we do that, we damage our culture. And, you know, changing culture is not an easy thing to do, right? And if you're starting to wrap those processes, so if you're sitting here today and you have a separated business analyst team, a separated testing team, a separated development team, and you're calling that agile, you're doing faux agile. You're not applying agility, right? And that makes it hard to change your culture. Culture's like this thing up here, right? It's a bit fruity on top. It's got a bit of roughage in the middle, hard to move.
A bit like you, Tony.
Yeah, a bit like me, right? And the reality is, if we don't change the culture, then we will never get true end-to-end organisational agility, right? Now, the thing that underpins that and drives that, unfortunately, is that organisations are scared to change. And when that happens is, we get this. So, Sharon Ross is unfortunately not here. She would love the tip of the hat. She came up with a lovely acronym that we love so much. It's called FWOTY. Organisations do FWOTY all the time. So they say they're going to change it, but they actually say, well, you know what? That's the way
that's how we always did it.
Right? And when they do that, They wrap it, make it look pretty, but they don't change anything that happens underneath. And if we don't change that, and if we don't tackle the big issues, and yes, all right, I know there's some more white fans out there before they even get stuck into me, he should be missing that tackle. But the reality is, if they don't tackle the big issues, they don't tackle funding, they don't tackle risk, they don't tackle leadership, then they will not change the culture. The other thing that, if you don't look towards changing, is innovation, disruption to your organisations. Make no mistake, whatever organisation you are in right now, there are disruptors coming for you. And it's not the ones that you can see you should be worrying about. It's the ones that you can't see sitting in their garage figuring out to have a piece of your pie. And if you don't change your culture, if you don't allow yourself to pivot, if you're not agile or you don't have agility, then you will not be able to respond fast enough.
Do you remember Blockbuster Video, Tony?
I seem to remember it in the dark ages. Do you remember it?
Yeah, I remember it. Right, late fees, mate.
Yeah, late fees, right. That was their business model. They made money from late fees.
They had essentially a Netflix-type model, but they were making more money on the late fees. Right, missed the boat.
And they couldn't change. So don't end up that way. You need to level up.
So we need to level up our organisational agility. We have to think differently about how we actually get agile, as we said, from end to end.
So to do that, we talk about going back to the basics, right? Agile's become this thing. So we talked about before, it's a bad word. Why is it a bad word? Well, we go into most organisations and look at agile that's been put in place. The agile's not bad, it's the wrappers that have been put over it. It's the organisational wrappers that have gone over the top to make it actually this layer thing that's no longer what the inventors of that particular method actually meant it to be, right? So now there's a revolution out there, we want you to get on that as well. Get back to the heart of agile. So what you can see we have up here is Alistair Coburn's heart of agile that he's currently pushing with everyone. Get back to the simple basics of what we would do. Overlaid over the top of Joshua Kareski's modern agile. And the two have a succinct clicking together, right? They all use the manifesto and the values and principles. And if you look at it in terms of your organisational change that you're trying to drive, think it through. If you make people awesome, you'll deliver. And when you deliver, if you actually deliver value continuously, then you get a chance to reflect on it and improve. And when you improve, then you start to help the people underneath have that safety mechanism, right? That intellectual capacity to be able to do things safely. And that all comes to collaboration, which gives you the ability to innovate. That allows you to experiment and learn rapidly. And that starts to move you towards a fully end-to-end agile organisation, right? Principle number 10.
You're a tenner, aren't you, Tony?
I'm a tenner. Simplicity. The art of maximising the amount of work not done is essential. Doesn't get any more sensible than that.
Yeah, and so when we think about a fully agile organisation, and we have in the middle the things that we've traditionally been doing, particularly, as we said, when we started in IT, right? We would explore the problem, we'd identify it, we'd build something, we'd ship it, we'd learn and tweak. Right? That's the model that we move through. But interestingly, that also works in all our other parts of the organisation. It doesn't matter whether you're rolling out a new intranet site, whether you're rolling out a new HR process, right? Whether you're actually trying to build a new branch somewhere, it's still the same type of model. And so agility works everywhere. And underpinning that are all the models and methods that we're now used to. Obviously, agile software development, but now DevOps, right? How we actually get things in the hands of customers sooner. Lean startup, how we start things up. Design thinking and Lean UX are all important underpinnings. But most importantly is we need to go and challenge the traditional parts of our organisation. Right? Areas like HR and people. Right? How do we actually think about our organisations differently? How do we think about people differently? How do we enable them to do their best? In marketing, we have to rethink that. In fact, the marketing folks have had a marketing manifesto, an Agile Marketing Manifesto, for a few years now, taking the same thing that's in the Agile Manifesto, but applying it to marketing. How do we apply it to our IT service areas? Because the challenge with IT services is that we all want our internet to work, so things need to be stable, yet we need to reflect the speed that we're trying to release things to our customers. And so putting those things hand in hand. They used to talk about going fast and slow. Really what we need to be talking about is going fast and stable. And budgeting, right? Risk and finance. How do we change things from our traditional project funding models, which really don't work for anybody, put some trust in there and use more intuitive models such as progressive funding. That's how we truly get agility across the organisation.
So So when we think about an organisation that wants to be agile or have agility, we need a high-performing culture. If you haven't read this book by Patrick Lencioni, The Advantage, it's a fantastic book. And he describes high-performing, healthy cultures as having this triangle of clarity, right? Who are we? Where are we going? How are we going to behave? Right? Direction. So once we have that, then we have focus. Our people have focus. They can move on. They know where they're heading, right? And once we have that focus, then we can predictably execute. If we don't have all three quarters of that, then we actually have a broken culture. And once we do that, then we need to start to link it to the strategic goals. So one of the things I've been working with, and Craig has been working with organisations, is a thing called OKRs, Objectives and Key Results. If you haven't seen those, let's start from the beginning here. They're not KPIs. KPIs are set by people up here who want to drive some sort of result, not sure what. Yeah? OKRs are set by the teams against the strategic goals of the organisation. Okay? Popularised, well, it was created by a guy called Andy Grove from Intel, I believe, but it was popularised by Google. Google used it from top to bottom. In fact, they've done away from KPIs completely. But not all organisations have gone that way. But you get your teams, you enable your teams to set their OKRs against the strategic drivers. And when you do that, you get them to set a measure against. It's usually a number. Google tends to use 0 to 1, so 0.5 is about the sweet spot. But it's not really about actually hitting it. It's about stretch goals. It's about giving them focus to try and achieve. And when the teams actually understand what they're driving towards the strategic goals, then that actually gives them sprint goals. So if you're in the scrum line, it enables your sprint goals. And it gives you that culture that actually starts to look as if it actually is driving towards business agility.
Yeah, and the thing about OKRs is that they have to be really audacious goals, right? Things that are really going to stretch you to get there. And Radical Focus is a great book that you can download that gives you some more insight into that. We talked about business agility before. Really, it's about looking left and right, wherever you are in the organisation, right? Where's your pipeline coming through, and then how do you get that into the hands of a customer? And so the tradition we often refer to this as the water scrum fall, right? We've got the Scrum, Kanban, XP, our delivery mechanism in the middle, right? Solving, making sure we're solving the problem right, and doing good work. But really, are we solving the right problem? And that's where things like design thinking and Lean Startup, for example, really help us there. And then get that in the hands of customers. Realise that value ASAP. Because if you think about Scrum, for example, right, 1995 was invented. It said that we should ship stuff every 2 weeks. How many of us are really shipping stuff at that cadence, right? Are we just popping things into a test environment, continuing going, and you know, 3 months, 6 months later, we ship something? And now with things like Kanban, continuous flow, continuous delivery, right, organisations are shipping tens of thousands of things every day. And that's the kind of level we need to get to. So you've got to look left and right to get true agility. But all that is underpinned by good change management, right, by looking at the portfolio and really thinking about how we have smaller things coming down the pipeline, things that are of value. And we do have to scale. And while some of our scaling patterns are still a little beta in their implementation, right, they're a start. We need to continue to evolve that in order to solve the real problems. Because if we actually look at organisational agility, there's a bunch of pillars, and these things are important underpinnings. Right? We have to think about the customer, put them first. Right? Does the customer see at the table, are they being represented? Think about the portfolio, are we leading it up and thinking about the way that pipeline is designed? Do we have stable teams, or at least teams that understand exactly what they're trying to do? Are they in control? Do they have autonomy in order to solve problems? Obviously, we need to use the agile frameworks and mindset in order to help us deliver. Is our leadership, right, and culture transformation? Do we have servant leaders and leaders that are adaptive? And then finally, how do we make it stick? Right, how do we make this thing stick so it continues? And underpinning all this is technology, because it's the heart of everything we do. So do we have good architecture and vision and technical excellence? Do we have good tools that support the way we work and good quality software that we're delivering? And then how do we get it out into the hands of customers? The other thing we need to think about is our organisational structures. And here is just a couple. Now, some of these may be a bridge too far, but the thing is, what I want you to do is take a look at these things and learn from them. So on the left, we have reinventing organisations. Frederick Laloux wrote that book a few years ago. And really started people thinking about how do we move towards being a teal organisation. Now, not everybody here is going to be a teal organisation, right? It's kind of like a desired thing to get to. But really, where are you now, right? If you're command and control, you're sort of down in the yellow and red type section. how do you start to move out of that, change that culture and move forward? So interesting kind of model to look at. Are you following into Conway's law? Conway's law essentially says that the organizational structure will represent the software architecture and vice versa. Right? So for example, when I go to my bank, right, I can't change my details of my insurance policy because they're two different systems, because the organization is a bank and an insurance company. Right? It's kind of ridiculous. We need to remove those things because as a customer, I don't care. Right? It's one big company I want to change things with. And we see this all the time. Clunky systems don't allow you to do stuff very well because we're mirroring those things together. And of course, there's holacracy, right, which again, right, there's been some experiments with this. Companies like Zappos, for example, have been trying it to mixed effect. But go look to these things for inspiration. It's not about rolling out holacracy by the book, but there are interesting things about how we can start to challenge the status quo of our organisations.
So, yes, leadership cloud. Looks like you're pretty good at that here in Australia. How many prime ministers now?
I don't know, you're prime minister at the end of the week, aren't you, Tony?
Possibly.
I'm going to Canberra tonight. Maybe I'll be prime minister.
Right. But leadership cloud agility is that next level of cloud agility, right? And we hear it all the time. We hear leadership is the key to agile transformations, to agile organisations, right? In fact, if you Google it, there's about a million books on it, right? But why is it when we walk into organisations and we talk to organisations now that they're still saying our agile's broken, our leadership is not on board, right? And they ask me that. And I say, well, the reality of it is it's a bit like Mr. Burns up here, right? I love agility, it just makes sense.
Excellent.
Yes, right? I love the smell of agility in the morning, as long as it's for my people and not for me. Right? So we need to change the senior leaders, because if we don't change the senior leaders, we end up a little bit like this. As I say do, as I do not.
You do the voice, Tony?
Oh.
That sounds like Mr. Bean.
Right? But we need, and what happens with that is it enables the middle layer to become very powerful. Too powerful. What they do is they control the information. And why do they do that? Because control of information allows them to assume control in their own fiefdoms. We end up with the marshmallow layer, right? And if they get hold of it enough, we end up with the marshmallow man. We end up with the silos, right? Because the introduction of agility to an organization disseminates control. That's what agility does. It returns control to the people. And in the absence of control, the only other thing that they can grasp hold of is command. You must, you will, you have to. I said you do. Because I control the information. Not only do I control the information downwards, guess what? I control the story that goes upwards. And we have to change that, because otherwise we end up with a must-deliver culture.
Yeah, and so this is the thing, right, is that we must deliver. And of course that is. It's how our organisations exist. Whatever it is, we have to deliver things out the line. But the problem is that quite often that delivery is based on almost made-up type things. It's a made-up date. It's a made-up budget. It's it's kind of the stuff you find in the fiction section of the library, right? And where do those things come from? And so,
it's in my Gantt chart. It's in my Gantt chart.
Well, every time we create a Gantt chart, an Agile Fairy dies, Tony. The thing is, how do we deliver, right? And so we've got to move this from this we must deliver and our commitments to be thinking more about options, right? What are our options? Because it's always a trade-off. Right? Do we take a few more days? Do we put another feature in? Do we kind of go early? And that's why we always talk about value. It's why it's in the first principle of the manifesto. The thing is with all this, it's sort of become part of the too hard basket, right? For us as practitioners, because how do we change that? Changing this level of leadership that doesn't want to change, how do we bring it along for the ride? And that's really, really the issue with fail agility is we've got to bring all these people along for the ride. We've got to take it out of the too hard basket and we've got to run with it and challenge it. And that's one of the things that's our challenge to you at this conference is to look for those things, right? Take them out of the too hard basket and start to make change.
Don't do the easy thing. The easy thing is to coach the teams, not the leaders.
And so how do we turn our leaders into delivery agents, right? So how do we fight the marshmallow? Just don't cross the streams. That's kind of dangerous.
Never cross the streams.
But if you look at companies like eBay, for example, right, they're taking their middle managers and they're turning them into delivery agents or the scrum masters in their teams, right, in order to actually put them back and have them actually giving their expertise but being at the team level.
And I've worked with a great organisation at the moment who's taken that to heart in a particular area, and they've actually removed all their middle leaders. They don't have a PMO, right? And they're about to remove the project managers as well. And what have they got? They've got product owners, scrum masters and the teams as the leadership group. They've enabled them. They've given them delegated authority. Whilst it's still a work in progress, they've actually taken that step, that next change step. There are other companies that are taking that step too. You can take that step.
Yeah. I mean, for example, project managers. Project management is still a core skill set. Doesn't has gone away. But what is the best way of being able to put it in there, right, to get an order game delivery? Right? Servant leadership is what we really need. So how do we level up leadership agility?
So we want to change the way we start thinking and we start conversing in the language that we use. In terms of it, we want to turn the ship around, like David Marquet says. If you haven't seen the book, you haven't read the video, do so. But we want to do intent-based leadership. We want to give our people enablement.
Yeah, change the language. I intend to.
I intend to. I intend to drop a nuclear bomb. Maybe Donald, that's probably not the right thing to do. But, So, when we change it to intent-based leadership, we start to enable our people. What we need to do there as leaders, and when I say leaders, everyone in this room is a leader, right, in some shape or form. So you need to enable the people that you're talking to. Remember, a leader is not a boss. The difference between a boss and a leader is a boss says, trust me. A leader says, I trust you. Right? So we need to change that language and use intent-based leadership. The other thing that we can start to look at is stuff like my good friend Chris Avery. Both Craig and I are working with Chris at the moment. The Leadership Gift, or looking at, or read the book. It's a fantastic book, but it's the responsibility process, right? And so when you look at that in terms of organisational change and leadership, you've got to think about it this way. Denial. They know stuff's happening at the bottom, right? If you walk in an organisation and it's broken at the bottom, that's denial. They deny it. If it goes over there and sits in the corner, I won't see it again. If you actually look at the lay blame, when you actually call it out, they say, oh, well, you know, that happened because it's that person's fault, right? It's that person's fault. Or what happens is they try to justify it. Well, you know what? That's swatting, right? That's the way it always happens. That's the way we always did it here. Yeah? And then there's the shame factor. If you call them out hard enough, the shame factor is it's somebody else's fault over there. They're responsible. That team over there aren't working properly. They're not doing our job properly. Or it's obligation, right? So we're obliged to do it this way because someone up top said we have to. We're not going to break that status quo. But the reality is, if you cross that line at the top, it's all about responsibility. Leadership responsibility. Leadership is a privilege. It's not a right. And you need to start thinking about that as leaders. We need to enable our people.
And this applies also as practitioners to how we coach our teams and coach our leaders. Right? Are we in denial about our fail agility? Are we laying blame? Are we justifying it? Are we shameful of it? Obligation, we need to move to responsibility as well.
And then there's breaking the silos, right? So we need to think about how our organisations are structured. You know, there's a picture from a little Swedish company you might know. Please, QRAM.
Spotify.
It is not a Spotify model. It doesn't even exist, right? So people are saying we're going to implement the Spotify model. You're using a matrix model. Don't do what Spotify did, but think about the principles that they use to actually help your organisation. If you talk to Henrik, who helped create that, he will tell you to your face, do not put that in your organisation the way we did it, because it works for us. And in fact, what you saw in that original paper no longer exists in the same way, because they've evolved it. But think of that way. Think of some of those things that you could do to break those boundaries by using the guilds and the chapters to cross the lines, to think about cross-functional, enduring, sticky teams. And in saying that, let's talk about self-organising teams, right? Now, I always feel funny here because Sandy's on after us and she'll be talking to you a lot about that. But enough to say that we should consider this as a method, allowing the teams to self-select and build the teams and create enduring teams, right? That deliver the best thing possible for us. Stop thinking about project-based teams. That is a thing of the past. We need enduring teams. Teams that actually own it, love it, build it, care about it.
Yeah, and I think just the thing on self-organising teams is that this is really about leadership, and leadership saying, we're not going to make the decisions, we're going to put that back to self-organising teams, put it back at a team level. Management 3.0 is another one. If you haven't sort of looked into this, great book, great set of workshops that come along with it. Because traditionally, our management has been management 1.0, the Industrial Revolution, command and control. Right? Works for you banging out horseshoes in a horseshoe factory, not so much in knowledge-based industries. We kind of moved to this so-called 2.0, which was this command and control top-down hierarchy, but at least trying to do the right thing. But really, in an agile world, we need to be this, what it's called 3.0 here, which is everybody contributing to the success. And management 3.0 is really about enabling the people and making them happy. And there's a whole bunch of really good things in management 3.0, if you haven't looked at it before, things that you can introduce to your teams right now, and these are just some of them. For example, the competency matrix, which allows you to be very visible about what are the competencies of people. Right, so we can actually help them learn and help them move in the places that they actually want to move to. Delegation boards that say who can make the decisions. Right, are these things that have to be made by leadership, or these things that we can make locally? Are these things we have to talk about as a team, or can we just make a decision straight up? And really trying to push things further down to the team as much as possible so that we don't have to have all those 17 layers of sign-off we've traditionally had. Celebration grids, which are great for retrospectives. The retrospectives have always been about looking for the things that we need to improve, but celebrating success. And the celebration grid really pushes that forward and also says, what experiments can we do in order to make things better?
Bringing the fun back.
And motivators, right? Motivators where we give kudos to everybody and say, hey, good job, well done. Lots of really good stuff in the Management 3.0 toolkit. If we look at the work of Steve Denning, right, he had a book a few years ago called Radical Management, and his more recent book, The Age of Agile, where he has these three laws of agility. The law of the small team, right? Small teams, small groups of people getting things done. But more importantly, also doing small units of work. Agility has always been based on breaking things down. We need to break down the work, we also need to break down the teams and remove the bureaucracy. The law of the customer, which is, you know, delight the customer. Who is your customer? Are you delivering to them? Right? Are you doing the best you can? Do you have that line straight to the customer and understand exactly what their needs are? And finally, the law of the network that says, hey, how do all these things come together? How do we get the decisions made if we need to make the decisions? Do we have that clear line to the customer? Can we find the other teams that help us get things done? So we start to remove all of the red tape that are in our organisations. Right? Some great things to remember there. And then finally, you know, the old adage, this is on every manager's desk typically these days, which is, you know, Patrick Lencioni's five dysfunctions of a team. But how do we help, you know, train and coach our leaders in order to actually make this so? So, you know, really at the base of it is, you know, do we have trust? Some of the organizations I go into right now just don't have that level of trust. And so as a leader, you need to help coach them to go first, right, to lead by example. Then to remove conflict, right? We've got to run towards conflict, not run away from it. Good leaders are the ones to try and mind for that, get it out of the way. Right? To get commitment, right? Make sure that we understand the container we're working in, we understand the vision, go forth, go solve problems. To make sure that we confront the difficult issues, which gets accountability. And then finally, right, moving from outputs to outcomes, right, at the top of the pyramid. So, right, we're almost there, right? Number three, right? What can we do, right? What are the fallibilities of us as practitioners, or us in the room who are consultants or agile coaches, right? How can we do this? This is really for everybody. So here's our problem, right?
So I did the nuclear thing before, it's too soon.
Too soon, yeah,
too soon.
But it's arrogance, right? There's this arrogance that sometimes if we've had a bit of success somewhere, right, all of a sudden I'm an expert, right? And it's my way or the highway. The thing is to remember, this is not new, right? This has been around. Their manifesto, 16 going on 17 now, right? It's been around for a long, long time. Scrum is now over 21 years old. It's got the key to the door, right? It's out there. It's been around since the early mid-90s. We know how to do this. It's been proven. Problem is that, you know, you pick up one of these things and now everybody's an expert. It's kind of being passed down from generation to generation somehow, right? We've got to stop this, right? We've actually got to build with expertise. It's the 10,000 hours of practice, right? How are you moving towards that? How are you looking at different ways to solve these problems?
Now, the other thing that we see is pure agile, right? When we walk into organisations, we see it regularly that they're trying to apply, or the coaches that are there are trying to apply pure agile. Pure agile doesn't work. In fact, pure agility in itself is a misnomer. If you go in with a pure agile mindset and try to put that in place and you do not tailor it to the organisation that you are working with, you are taking the literal square peg and jamming it in the round hole and you're going to get that result, right? That doesn't mean that you turn it into a wagile thing. But it means that you actually start to think about the different motives of coaching. If you don't understand how to do that, then you need to ask for help from those that do, right? Agile does not work out of the box. If somebody offers you software out of the box, you run, right? It's the same with agility. It doesn't come out of the box and it doesn't work.
What's on that box, Tony?
Yeah, it's definitely not that kind of box, for sure, right? Okay.
If it was less, would it be a smaller box?
It would be a smaller box, right? Don't go out of here and say Tony says that's bad, because that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is if you put that into an organisation, you need to tailor it to the organisation. Right? It's not a religion. So often we see the religious zealots. If it's not done by the Scrum Guide.
Can you swear on the Scrum Guide here, Tony?
No. I can't do it. Right? You can't go with that religion. Yeah? You have to actually tailor it and think about the different ways that we can possibly use agility for the organisation that you are working with. And then we have to think about, right back at the beginning of the day, I talked to you about the safe to fail thing, right? Fail. First attempt in learning. We need to change that language. It's been overused, and there's nothing that's going to put the fear of God into an executive more than saying we're going to be safe to fail. Especially if you're working in health or you're working in bank, especially bank at the moment, financial, right? We want to flip that on its head and say, how about we fail safe? First attempt in learning safely. Have strategies to actually experiment safely without affecting the organisation. Or if you do go outside of the organisation, controlled environments and controlled groups to help you experiment.
Not really safe to fail, but safe to learn as
no
well.
No FOT.
And so really what we're trying to do is, right, are we just accepting the status quo? Right? What can we do to get ourselves out of the water scrum for? Right? What can we do to help move our organisations to the next level? It's like going to the doctor, right? Our job is to not look for the problem, right, but to treat the symptom. Right? We need to go and find those causes and actually start to fix them up. And so how do we level up our practitioner? Well, the thing is that there are competencies around this. These are the agile coaching competencies. And if you really want to help a team succeed, these are the things you need to have in your toolbox.
I got my piece of paper yesterday. Can I coach now?
What, you got an agile systems specialist or an ASS, wasn't it?
That's the one.
That's it, right? But yeah, the coaching competencies, right? We need to have those 10,000 hours of practice moving towards them as agile lead practitioners. But you've got to remember, we've also got the content, right? Teaching and mentoring. Too much of agile coaching tends to be teaching. We've got to move away from that. Right? Coaching is more around this sort of mentoring and coaching type idea, facilitating teams. And so those things in orange are the core skill sets we need. Right? Are you or is your coach more of a teacher? Right? And are they someone who actually has those skills, or have they just been on a successful agile team once or twice? And then it's all those mastery levels as well. How much do you know about the technical mastery? How much do you know about the business you're in? How can you help them on their transformation journey? Because we've got these professional coaching skills, right? So, you know, go and take a look at them. Things like the GROW model to have really good conversations with your team. Right? Understanding the goal, right? Understand the reality so that you can start to figure out some options and, more importantly, find a way forward. But it's about coaching, not training. It's about them owning the decisions, then moving it forward, not us just coming in and saying, hey, I read something in the Scrum Guide and actually it might be pretty useful for you. Because we've got to stand up, right? We've got to stand up and not settle. We've got to have some, you know, some gumption, stand up, maybe swear occasionally, right? But the thing is that how do we level this up, right? How do we go and treat that problem? We've got to stand with the team, help them on their journey. And the other thing to remember is we've got to practice what we preach. Right? Too often we come in and say, let's do these things, and we don't do them ourselves. So are we visualising our work, right? If you're on a transformation, are you visualising that on a wall? Because that's exactly what we tell our teams to do. Right, are you having stand-ups and retrospectives and showcases for your transformation so that people can see exactly what's going on? Right, think about things we tell our teams to do. We need to do those things ourselves.
So, what Craig's basically saying is, that box I was talking about before, is look outside of the box. Now, some guy, a friend of mine, sort of did this talk on about 40 agile methods. I think he got it wrong because it's 42, because that's the meaning of agile, right?
I would have had 170 methods in 170 minutes, but nobody wanted to sit through that.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough. But what we have there is a multiplicity of tools and ways of doing agile that are available to you. Don't settle. Don't be religious to a framework. You need to think about how you can move forward. And then you need to look at whether your coaching is sticky. When you coach teams, Are they sticky? How do you know? Right? You need to make fact-based decisions. And how do you do that? You have to have data. Therefore, you have to measure. So you need to think about how you understand whether your teams are actually absorbing and keeping what you're putting there. Agile maturity assessments. Maybe it's actually going to the Gemba room, watching them and talking with them. But you need to make sure that your coaching is sticky. Don't set and forget. Don't be the seagull. Lastly, we want you to think about this. Have you signed this, Craig?
I certainly have, Tony.
I've signed this. Who else has signed this? Has anybody else seen this, Craig? So we...
Our aim is 300 people to sign this.
Before the end of the day, we want you all to sign up to this because it's part of levelling up, right? We want you not to exclude things because you don't understand them. You need to think about using the right methods. If you can put your hand on your heart and waterfall's the right thing to use, then do it. If you're doing a heart operation, are you going to do that iteratively? I don't think so. Right?
Here's the thing, right? When you put your hand on your heart, right, is it truly the best thing to be done? Right? And that's really the challenge. When we really do that, we can always find improvements. Right, but we have to look at all sorts of different schools and heritages in order to find those. And agility really is just based on a bunch of old ideas anyway. Right, but we're constantly evolving it. The 12th principle is continuous improvement. Agility itself, right, has lasted this long because it continuously improves. Right, so days like this are great because we learn new things, we take them back to our organisation to make things better. So what's our final fail? No, our wrap? No. It's level up at this conference, isn't it? What's our level up? What are our things for you to take away here? Look, we need you to be honest and transparent about your areas of fail agility in your organisations. You come to conferences like this, people are telling you the good stories, and that's great because that's where we learn things, we take ideas away. When you get back to the organisation, really start to challenge the things that are causing fail agility. It's our job as the Brisbane Agile community, Brisbane Agile practitioners, to make this the best done, you know, city in the world for agile transformations for organisations that are truly agile. And remember, this goes top down and bottom up. Right, we need the support of our executives. If we look at organisations such as ANZ and Telstra, now it's coming from CEO level. We're really starting to see this, you know, start to permeate. But it starts with us. It starts right down at the bottom with the people who are sweeping the floors. If we don't push those things up, we can't make things better. So top down and bottom up.
So, we're getting the time back to promote the right-hand side here, so we'll make this a little quicker. But what we want you to do, don't walk out of here today. You came here for a reason. You came here because you wanted to learn something, hopefully. Hopefully you came here because you wanted to connect with the community. When you go back, stop running and start making changes. Organisations continue charging on. Transformations continue charging on. Coaches charge on. Stop running, don't Forrest Gump it. I did it that week, if I was told to do it that week, sir, right? Be the change that you wish to be, right? Make it so, number one. Make it happen now.
So, Tony, right, there's one last thing we typically do on the podcast, and it'd be really cool if we could do it here.
So, what we want you to do, those who listen to the podcast will know that it's ending for us to say, Viva la Revolution. So, unfortunately, he's convinced me to do this, but anyway, we'll do it. There we go.
You bought the parades, Tony.
So, if I'm going to wear this, you've got to do something for us, okay? So, when I count to three, and remember, we're recording this, and you're going to be on our podcast. So, when I count to three, we want Viva la Revolution. All right? Are we ready?
One, two, three. Viva la Revolution.
And it probably didn't blow the socks off the VU meter. Let's try it again. One last time. 1, 2, 3.
Viva la Revolution.
Level up, Brisbane. Thank you.